This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Hope everybody is having an amazing weekend so far. Sorry if my voice is a little off this week. I have a cold that's been hanging on for the past week or so, and it sounds worse than it is. So if my voice sounds a little different, I apologize. Hopefully it'll be cleared up by next week's show. Wanted to start the show out with some community notes. That's when you guys talked to me on social media, which I love, by the way. I posted on Twitter earlier this week about the Facebook poke. Now, the Facebook poke is making a comeback. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of this or not. But the Facebook poke, if you used Facebook about 10 years ago, was pretty popular, I guess. You could poke your friends. You could poke people you didn't know very well in order to start a conversation. It was just kind of a fun feature. And then a lot of times you would get a poke from someone. It's like, oh, I don't want to talk to you. But it was still kind of fun. The poke never actually went away necessarily. Facebook just kind of buried that feature under a bunch of different settings. So it was difficult to find and less people used it. But Facebook is making an effort to bring it back. So I posted on Twitter, what else from the olden days of social media would you like to see come back? The olden days being 10 years ago, because we haven't had it for that long. But I posted that personally, I miss the MySpace profile song. And I do. That was so fun. If you had a MySpace account back in the day, it was just a totally different form of social media than what we have now. It kind of invented the genre. It was a lot of people who I know's first social media platform. And you had your profile. You could insert a music player onto that profile and then pick different songs that would play whenever people visited your profile. It showed you how many people had viewed your profile that day. That was kind of cool. And then, of course, there was the top 8 on MySpace where you ranked your best friends 1 through 8, which in 2024 actually sounds kind of insane. But in 2007, we were all just like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll rank you. I will let you know that you are number three in my life. It was just a fun time. It was a different time. So I wanted to hear from you guys and see what you missed about the olden days of social media, as I'm calling it. Danielle, at In My Minivan Era, I love her handle. She says, the profile song was definitely a favorite for me. I also learned how to code with MySpace and made my own themed background. I don't remember how to code anymore, but it was so fun. I feel like I picked up a little bit of HTML too back in the day whenever I was using MySpace, but I don't remember any of it. But Danielle's right. It was so fun to just sit there and scroll through the different themes because they had all these websites dedicated to your MySpace page and tricking out your MySpace page. And it was just so fun to sit there and pick your different theme, change it up every week. They had these like little badges and icons you could put on your page. I would just spend hours going through and trying to find the perfect way to express myself. My friend Andrew Stoles from the Dave Glover Show also said he misses the MySpace profile song. He said, I needed all the girls to know how edgy my tastes were, which right on, man. I mean, I still feel like that today. Whenever I post anything, I'm like, I hope people get me. That's the whole point of posting on social media, right? Is to kind of scream into the void and see if anybody's picking up what you're putting down. Bowling with Dawn said, I miss the thing where you picked your top five favorite things on a topic and then could share it with your friends and then they could do the same thing and it made a graphic for you. That was the peak of social media for me. Now, I don't remember this, but Don says that it was something you could do on Facebook. It sounds pretty fun. John, the real John Dub, says, I miss the MySpace profile song and the top eight. The top eight, I don't know. I don't know if we could survive the top eight in 2024. It's a little controversial, but there is a messy part of me that would kind of like to see that play out. Brad Range from the Annie Fry Show says Vine. Vine was cool. I never had it downloaded on my phone or anything, but it was just those short, like 7-second videos. And people would make the funniest skits. I would watch Vine compilations all the time. Let's see here. Who else? Ashley Moore says, I miss when social media wasn't overrun by bots and scams. Hey, Ashley, that's fair enough. Twitter, or X as we're calling it nowadays, all the time I get notifications that someone liked my tweet and then it's just a scantily clothed woman who I don't know and who obviously isn't real. I definitely miss those days whenever those fake accounts weren't spamming everything that you did online. Let's see. Diesel82 says, I miss when it didn't exist. I'd like to see that come back. Which, you know, fair enough, but you are using social media to talk to me right now, so we wouldn't be able to have this conversation if social media didn't exist. And then Dennis says, less Nazis on Twitter should make a comeback. Yeah, I agree with that, too. So thank you all for reaching out. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter and begin a dialogue, my handle is at RachelZSTL. I'd love to hear from you. I will pose a question from time to time and see if my listeners, you know, have anything to say, and you'll probably be featured on the show at that point. Speaking of social media, this is the perfect segue into my guest this week. J18 is a digital content creator. He's a comedian. He's an actor. I discovered his content about a month or so ago, and I was just blown away by how funny he was. And then lo and behold, turns out he's from the St. Louis area. So I thought he would make a really interesting interview for the show. He's up next. You're listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Thanks for listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show. So J18 is a comedian, actor, and content creator from St. Louis. I first became familiar with J18 on TikTok, and I was quickly drawn in by his evergreen, relatable content that also happens to be hilarious. Here's a quick example. This clip is about the overhead light in cars.
Black people will crash the car to look at you if you cut this light on. This light is serious business in the car. This light is not to be turned on under any circumstances. Any circumstances, especially at night. Especially at night. In black people's mind, when this light gets turned on at night, in our mind, it's like a signal that gets sent to the police. Like this is a, like they get an alert if we turn this light on. We will literally get whiplash to turn around and look at you. If you turn this light on because you dropped your phone or you dropped some money on the floor, it's my money now. You ain't or either that or you ain't getting it till we get to our destination. You turning this light on, you must really be asking for it. You asking for it.
You can check out his content on TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. I sat down with J18 to talk about his roots in comedy, his creative process, and the amazing tool that social media is for creators. All right, J18, thank you so much for joining me in the KMOX studios.
Rachel, thanks for having me.
I really appreciate you coming down here. So you are a comedian, an actor, a content creator.
Yes.
I'm going to be honest. So my friend Andrew told me about you.
Okay.
And I checked out your TikToks. And I'm like, this guy is so funny. And I was like, he's a great TikToker. And then I do some more digging. And I'm like, no, you have so much going on.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about yourself and all your projects that you have.
Well, I'm born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri. The youngest of three siblings, two older sisters. Started comedy at the age of 18. I was very nervous to start doing it, you know, but I really love to make people laugh. And the first person that got me into comedy, I should say, is my sister. She asked me a question one time. She said, you know, do you want to work a regular job the rest of your life? Just being normal, average. And I'm like, well, you know, where is this coming from? And she said, if you don't tap into your gift of comedy, your gift to make people laugh, the way you brighten people's day, then you're going to end up doing something the rest of your life that you just don't want to do, and you're not going to be walking in your fullest potential. Mm. So to this day, I thank my sister for that. And I had to get confirmation from my family because anybody can be the family comic. Everybody got that one funny person in their family that makes everybody laugh, but that's different from being on stage or even creating skits for that matter, doing it as an art form. So I really owe it to my sister for just instilling that in me.
That's really cool that she nurtured that in you.
Yes.
When did you first realize, like, oh, I'm funny, like I'm making everyone laugh?
At a young age, I grew up watching Sinbad.
Okay.
Because Sinbad, I consider myself a clean comic. I don't like to use no profanity or anything like that because I grew up in a faith-based household. My dad's a pastor, mom's a first lady, so I kind of grew up in an environment where we had nice, wholesome, clean fun.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of started at a young age, just being around other people, just making them laugh in any type of scenery, you know. So I just it started just watching Sinbad growing up, watching him on Star Search, you know, and making people laugh. It just started right there, you know.
Do you have any writing and acting in your background? Like, did you study that in school or anything?
Yeah, I went to St. Louis Community College and I did something called the Children's Show. And I took it's basically a class that, it was an acting class. And in the class, we did a thing called the Children's Show. We went around to different elementary schools and middle schools and we did it. And that kind of got me into acting a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We did, I think it was Alice in Wonderland. And I played like 6 or 7 different characters. And at the time, I kind of was like, why am I doing this? But it kind of started that acting bug in me,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I used to ask people, you know, you think I could do this? They was like, yeah, you got it naturally, you know. So that's kind of like where it started. It was, I think I was just getting into college and I started to do that.
So what made you want to start creating content online?
It started with, you know, me and my cousin grew up, you know, playing. Everybody has that one cousin they play with, they kick it with. And we started to do stuff. And right before social media even started popping, we started to put videos online. We just started to do it. It wasn't like we necessarily seen it anywhere. We just started to record and put them up online. I seen one other person do it. And I was like, man, that's fun. I think I can do this. So we started to just try it. And then that's how I started, you know. And I started putting up reaction videos and started doing little skits here and there. And then I took a break from it for a while because it really wasn't doing anything for me. You start working, you start mm-hmm. going to school. And then I started to pick it up. I started doing content creation serious during the pandemic, 2020.
Yeah, I think a lot of people like really leaned into TikTok, especially during the pandemic.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so you have a huge following on TikTok and Instagram. Yeah. I was creeping on you a little bit last night in preparation for the interview. I saw your podcast on YouTube.
Yes, yes.
So, and then you're also, I saw you have live shows coming up.
Yeah.
What do you consider yourself mainly? Do you have like, you're like, I'm J1A and I'm fill in the blank? Or do you say like, I'm a Renaissance man and I do it all?
I'm an entertainer.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like to say, oh, I'm a stand-up comic, or I just create skits, because I do it all. You know, I do a podcast. I do stand-up. I create skits. Mainly, I've been doing skits for the most part because, you know, I've been doing that full-time. That's how I got my start being an entrepreneur. Because I was working a job as a manager at a warehouse, and then my video started to just blow up, and I was able to leave my job doing that. So, I consider myself just a flat-out entertainer.
I'm talking to J1A. He's a comedian and content creator right here in St. Louis.
Why do you think your content, like your skits especially, why do you think that connects with so many people?
Because it's relatable, Rachel. You know, we all know what it's like to grow up with parents, you know, and those little small things that we tend to look over, those little small situations where parents, they come in, they trying to see what you're doing, they coming in the room just wondering what's going on with you. And you really, you know, you don't want your parents in your business, mm-hmm. but at the same time, they're trying to be in your business. And I just try to make family relatable content that everybody has gone through that people tend to overlook. You know, even those traumas or those things that you went through, your parents was a little too hard on you, but they were funny situations at the same time. They kind of molded you into the person you are now. I think my stuff is just relatable because I talk about things that people normally don't talk about that they went through in their household.
And you're noticing these things that the rest of us are taking for granted.
Yes.
Is that kind of how your comedy got started too? Like, hey, I observe this and I'm going to say it. And everyone's taken aback because it's like, oh, it was right there and I didn't see it.
Yes. They used to get me in trouble with my parents because they like, you know, you pointing out, you talking about stuff that, you know, that you really supposed to be upset about. But you just decide and you just want to talk about that, you know, because that's where the funny is, you know. the situations that people really tend to overlook, that people don't talk about. That's all comedy is bringing out. It's saying what people don't want to say, think, and saying what people are thinking.
So I'm so impressed by just the sheer amount of content you have.
Yes.
How do you brainstorm for it? How do you keep it fresh?
How do I keep it fresh? I keep it fresh just by just writing. Sometimes I write and I jot down everything that I'm thinking about. And, you know, I just continue to I try to build on one video. If I do a video and that video did good and I like that subject matter, I try to build on that subject matter. If it starts in one room, I'm going to the next room. You know, it's kind of like a show. We watch TV shows. They're progressive. A lot of times they're stories. Mm-hmm. It's a storyline. So I think of all my content as a storyline, you know, and I try to build upon that.
And how much of your content ends up on the cutting room floor, so to speak? Like, how much of it is an exercise?
I was just telling somebody the other day, I have a lot of content that I just didn't put out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some stuff that I didn't think was as funny. And I just decided to archive it, or I decided just to not put it out at all. And one time I actually put out something I didn't quite like, and it went crazy.
Mm.
You know, so that's why I tell people out there, you know, you're creating content. Sometimes it's good to try different things, even if you feel like, you know, this might not be your best work. Put it out anyway, because you never know what the results of that is going to be.
So how do you balance, like, real life with being on TikTok, being on Instagram, doing these sketches mm-hmm. and these skits? How do you, like, do you feel like it all starts to bleed together after a certain point? Do you have certain boundaries you won't cross, or?
You mean, like, just as far as the content goes?
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? You don't want to get too personal and talk about personal things. But for me, there is a boundary. You're right. There is a certain things that you just wouldn't talk about. You just wouldn't put out there. But I like to get in the crooks and the crevices of stuff, because that's where people really find the healing in my content. People want to laugh at their pain, so to speak. You know, they want to find a way to make what they went through funny. Like, if someone finds something I did family related, you know, parents related, they say, man, that's really, like, I went through that, you know. But it's funny now because I'm older and I realize that, you know, they was just looking after me, or I went through this, that I went through that with my brother and my sister, you know, but that was a funny situation now looking back on it. Wasn't so funny when I went through it, but it's funny now looking back on it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's certain things you don't touch, but I believe in some things that's where the funny is.
You seem like a very emotionally intelligent person, and I think you would kind of have to be to do comedy in some case. I'm sure there's some pretty immature comedians out there, though. But I mean, do you use your comedy to heal, as you said earlier?
Yeah. No, Rachel, I ain't gonna lie to you. I had a pretty good upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had great parents. There's not, you know, everybody goes through things with their parents. So I'm not saying that I'm perfect. But I wouldn't say I use it as healing, because, you know, they were there every step of the way, almost to the point to where I told my dad, you need to stop showing up, because I played football in high school and I would be on the field. And literally, you know how you can look out from the distance and you see the heat waves. My dad would just be standing there with his arms folded, just watching. And it was times he was there and I'm like, I didn't even know. He's like, I was there practice today. I saw you. And I'd be like, I didn't know you was there, you know. So can't really say I have a lot to heal from, but my comedy comes from just peeling off all of those moments that I felt like I had to call my parents out on some stuff. I'm like, yeah, I'm putting this in my content because then they'll call me and be like, you know what, I seen that. So you got something you want to tell me? And it's like, nah, I mean, I'm just, you know, I take stuff from my upbringing. I was watching, and parents need to understand this. Your kids is watching.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't think that they watching you, because when they get older, they're going to tell you about some stuff that you did to them, or how you upset them. Kids know more than what you think they know.
When we come back, part two of my interview with J18. So I was watching some of your Instagram content this weekend, and you had kind of alluded to, like, competition in the comedy space and how people can come at each other. Tell me about that.
Well, the comedy space has a lot of competition. You know, and I don't like that, Rachel, because I feel like everybody's in their own lane. Everybody is doing what they love to do. There's a lot of beef between stand up comics and people that do skits. And it's like, even beef between stand up comics and people that do skits. It's like, if everybody's in their own lane, if everybody is doing what they love to do, making money how they make money, supporting their family how they support their family, then what's the problem? Mm-hmm. I think we got to stop this silliness and this hate with each other. If the number one goal is to make people laugh, if the number one goal is to bring joy to people, why do we waste time going at each other over stuff that shouldn't even matter? You know, we all are in our own lanes. And I feel like we need to just focus on bringing joy to the people as opposed to coming at each other, because that just takes the attention off of the good, you know?
Do you think it comes from a place of insecurity? But do you think it comes from a place of like just believing there's not enough to go around for everybody else?
Rachel, you hit it. You own it today. You hit it because someone just told me that the other day. It's like people really feel like there's not enough to go around. And there is, you know. And this is the thing, Rachel. I'm just put it out there. A lot of the stand-up comics have issues with people that do skits because they have an audience. You know, let's say Johnny has 4 million followers. Johnny is a comedian. Johnny may not be on stage as much as your average comedian, but he's trying to work to build his audience so he can monetize that audience and tell that audience, hey, come see me at this so-and-so club. And they buy tickets and they sell out. A lot of the seasoned comics that are out here that kind of, you know, they started out in the clubs before there was any social media, they feel like they had to work a different way to get there, but it's a different time. Mm-hmm. And I tell people this all the time, Rachel, if Eddie Murphy, Martin Lawrence, if all of these guys grew up in this era and in this time, they would be using social media and using it to their benefit. If you have all the followers, Rachel, and you have a show and you telling those people, hey, come see me, I'm at this theater, you're going to sell tickets. You're going to use your audience. Why would you not? Mm-hmm. You know, so I just think, you know, it's the beef and the anger is misplaced. And I feel like, you know, this is about love, man. This is about making people laugh in whatever form. It doesn't matter. If you are a skit maker, if you create content, keep doing it, man. If you're a stand-up comic, keep doing what you're doing. You don't have to hate one art form and like the other or make people feel bad because they do skits and they not into the stand-up space. Mm-hmm. Or even stand-up comics that just decide, hey, I want to do skits for a season and get my audience up. There's nothing wrong with that.
I think that's the amazing thing about TikTok especially. I just feel like during the pandemic, it just really boomed.
Yes.
And it proved like there is room for everybody. Everybody can be creating content, and it's not putting anyone else out of business.
No.
It's created this new economy and this exciting new thing that we should all be psyched about.
Well, it's the same thing about the music space. You see it all the time. I'm pretty sure you've seen people that, you know, they get a lot of streams, and you have the OG people that, you know, they came up, they had to go stand on the corner and sing a song to be noticed, or they had to wait outside somebody's office. But now you can pull your phone out, record yourself singing. Matter of fact, record the song, upload it to a streaming platform, and put it out there on your social media account, build an audience. And now you can put yourself on. And people don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, that's not real. For some reason, you got to work your way up. Rachel, it don't have to be like that now. And I think, and a lot of the old heads, my dad said this to me, and my dad is 55 years old. He said, people don't like the fact that social media has changed the game. And I'm here to tell people it ain't going nowhere. And it's only going to get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
It's only going to get better. You know, and people just going to have to live with it, that people can put themselves on now. People can start a podcast, put it on YouTube, and create an audience and have your own show. And guess what? Make just as much money as somebody that's on a major TV network program.
So speaking of a podcast, tell me about your podcast. What do you like to do on it?
My podcast, first of all, it's called Lounge Talk with J18. It's me and my sister. It started with just me. And I decided to bring my sister on because we have a lot of chemistry,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I love her. And, you know, we just bounce off each other. We've been doing it all our lives. So I said, why not bring you on? And
is this the same sister that encouraged you to pursue comedy?
Bingo.
Okay.
The same one, you know, and she is a minister, and she lives in Toronto, Canada. She got married and she's in Canada now. And we just bounce off each other, and we love to talk about our faith. We love to talk about life, anything trending in the news, entertainment wise, anything that's funny, anything that's current. We talk about everything. There's nothing that we won't talk about. Well, some stuff, but, mm-hmm. but you know, we pretty much talk about everything on our podcast.
And people can find that on YouTube?
Yes, you can find it on YouTube. You can search YouTube Lounge Talk with J18. It's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You know, you can search on iHeartRadio Podcasts. It's everywhere.
So you have a huge audience. How do you stay authentic to yourself while talking to so many people? Because I would think it would be tempting to start catering to certain groups or like, oh, I've got, you know, this demographic is tuning in. Maybe I should focus just on them. Like, how do you stay true to yourself?
Because truly, Rachel, within inside of myself, I love everybody. I don't care about your race, your color, your creed. I love everybody. I want to make everybody laugh. I want everybody to be able to enjoy my content. That's why I really appreciate it when people of all races and all colors come to me and they DM me and they say, I love your content. Because when you grow up, you know, when you grow up in a certain culture, when you grow up in a certain atmosphere, you only see who you see. You know, that's everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, so when different people can tell you that you make them laugh, and that really keeps you authentic, you know, to yourself, because then you really start to dig into who you are. You don't have to change.
Do you ever get recognized, or, you know, or have people in your circle started acting differently since you've had this success? I'm just curious.
I think family can be a little late to the party, you know, but that, you know, I have a small circle, Rachel. I don't talk to a lot of different people, you know, because, you know, that's a fact that I do know, is that a lot of people do tend to act different or look different because they want to use your platform to promote something, or, you know, they become closer to you because of what you have. But, you know, my family is pretty solid, and they're very, very supportive of me at the same time, you know. So I haven't really noticed a different change. I've noticed that as I've grown, my parents kind of started to look at it in the very beginning, like, oh, you doing videos, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when they started to see my videos show up in different places, and, you know, and they started to see my success with it, it was like, okay, you know, you're doing this. And they really have been very supportive of it.
That's great.
Yes.
I meant to ask you this earlier. What do you think of this potential TikTok ban that's looming over us?
I think that could be a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the CEO, I call him Show. I don't know his full name. Forgive me. But he said that there could be over 300 to 400,000 businesses that could be possibly destroyed. You don't understand, Rachel, how many people have set their families up for life through the TikTok platform. You see it all the time. You can just go on and scroll and see people packing boxes and showing off the warehouse or showing off their home. You know, there was this young lady who, she started off as a content creator, and she had a hair care product business. And she had her first $1 million month 2 to 3 months ago.
Wow.
And that's through TikTok. That's the power of TikTok. She had an audience and she was doing skits. Then she flipped it and started introducing her business. And now she had $1 million month. So those are the people that you're going to be taking stuff away from. It's not to say she still won't have success, because I truly believe that, you know, if you're really successful and you about your money and you grind and you work hard, you can have success outside of TikTok, no doubt about it. But that's an audience. That's direct-to-consumer right there on the platform.
Yeah, it's a very invaluable tool.
Yes, and I think that hopefully it doesn't get banned. Hopefully it stays around, because there's a lot of good. Because I tell people all the time, there's good and bad in everything. Mm-hmm. There's good and bad on all the platforms. But I believe on TikTok there's more good than bad. That's just my opinion.
So speaking of all the platforms, what's your preferred one? Or, I mean, do you have a preferred platform that you like to use?
I honestly love them all. TikTok is where it started for me.
Mm-hmm.
So when you just asked me that question, it hit me hard, because that's where I got my start. That's where I had a first video go viral. That's where people started to know me from. And from that, it branched out into Instagram and Facebook and YouTube, you know. And YouTube was the hardest to crack for me, but TikTok has something to do with that. So, you know, I owe a lot to TikTok for that. You know, that's the platform that got it going for me.
Mm-hmm. Where do you hope this takes you? I mean, you're extremely successful right now, but is there a next step you would like to take?
Hopefully, just more opportunities in acting and, you know, more partnerships, just working with people, you know, just everywhere, Rachel. That's a broad question. You know, I just want to go as far as God allowed me to go. Mm-hmm. I just want to work hard, you know, continue to put out my content. And I know that it's going to take me where it's supposed to take me.
What advice do you have for young people who want to, you know, get started in this space?
just get started. Post your content. And don't worry about what anybody else says. Don't worry about the people that said you're not good enough, that you're not funny, that you know you don't have any talent or that you don't have what it takes. Even your parents. Now, if you're young, listen to this. If your parents are telling you not, if you're at a young age, you're not an adult, listen to your parents. When you become an adult, 18, you're out of your parents' house, whatever the case may be, do it, man. I've had so many people that just, I don't know if I'm good enough. Start posting your content and you're going to create an audience. Everybody has an audience. And if you keep working at it, just you're going to develop your audience and you're going to be great at it.
That's J18. You can find him on TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you so much for joining me. It was a real pleasure to talk
Rachel,
to you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
Hope you guys enjoyed that interview with J18 in the last segment. If you missed any part of the show today, or if you'd like to revisit any part of the show, don't forget that you can podcast the show on the Odyssey app or anywhere else you get your podcasts. But I really like the Odyssey app because not only can you access a ton of podcasts, you can also listen to KMOX in real time. And it's digital streaming, so it sounds perfect. And it's really nice, especially if you're in a location where you can't reach a traditional radio, but there's breaking news or something, you'd like to see what's going on, just download the Odyssey app on your phone. It's free. It's easy to set up. Trust me on this one. You won't regret it. Let's finish out the show by talking about some of the week's top headlines. Now, these are some headlines you might have heard me talk about on the DGS. Some of them are new. I just thought that these would be fun to revisit on the show, kind of the week that was, if you will. Let's see. A man named literally anybody else is running for president. So this is a guy in Texas running for president after officially changing his name to literally anybody else. First name literally, middle name anybody, and last name else. He's a 35-year-old math teacher from Dallas, and he announced he's running for president because he thinks we need literally anyone else than Trump or Biden, which, you know what, the polls are showing that a lot of people feel that way, too. A lot of people feel like they wish they had different options. Is this guy literally anybody else the answer? Probably not, but it's kind of a cute and funny little stunt, and he definitely got himself in the news. Before he changed his name was Dustin Eby. And if he doesn't win the presidential election, which it sounds like he's not going to, it sounds like he plans to change his name back to Dustin. He just turned 35, so this is the first time he's been old enough to run for president. So good luck to you, Dustin, or should I say literally anybody else. To be honest, I don't see it happening for you, but I'm glad you got in the news cycle. That's fun. Donations to Will and Jada Smith's charity went way down after the Oscar slap. We all remember the Oscar slap. This week was actually the anniversary of that happening. And my goodness, when that happened, I was watching the Oscars, as I always do, and I could not believe what I was shook, you guys. I could not believe what was happening. They just sent these shockwaves through the nation. We were acting like, you know, we'd never seen anything like it before. And really, we hadn't. I had never seen an A-list celebrity slap another A-list celebrity on stage at the Oscars before. But Will and Jada are shutting down their charity foundation, partly because donations have gone way down since the slap, which happened in 2022. In 2021, the foundation took in $2.1 million, and then the following year, it was down to $365,000. That's an 83% drop. So things just haven't been good for them ever since the slap. I wish them the best of luck. And maybe they can find, you know, a different charitable foundation to work with in the future that has more success. Gum sales are falling. I thought that was interesting. Chewing gum is just not as popular as it used to be. So sales dropped significantly during the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic with increased mask wearing. I guess people figured I don't need to have nice breath. I have a mask over my face. Sales have begun to bounce back a little bit, but growth remains very slow with an increase of just 1% in the U.S. last year. And across the globe, the story is similar. I haven't bought gum in the longest time. A big part of that is because I use Smart Mouth, which eliminates your bad breath at the source for 12 hours per rinse. Just word to the wise. But yeah, I use their mints instead of gum. I'm just not a gum chewer anymore. But whenever I was working retail, I used it all the time. It's interesting that it's just down all over the country and all over the world, actually. Trader Joe's has upped the price of a banana for the first time in 23 years. Man, inflation is coming for everything, even the Trader Joe's bananas. It sounds like an outrageous price jump, But at the same time, it's really not that bad because they started at 19 cents and they've been that price since 2001, but they just upped it to 23 cents. So not really going to break the bank. But when you break down the math, that's a lot. That's a 21% increase. But, you know, 4 cents at the end of the day, it's not really going to kill you. So I don't even shop at Trader Joe's, so it doesn't affect me. But I figured plenty of you guys do, and I would share the news. I love this story here. I mean, it's sad. Everything about North Korea is sad, but it's also, it's funny at the same time because it's just so ridiculous. I mean, you feel terrible for the citizens that live under this, you know, terrible regime. But every once in a while, they do something that's so silly that it's like, well, we have to talk about this. North Korean TV blurred the genes of a BBC gardener because they played his show on North Korean TV, but you're not allowed to wear jeans in North Korea because it's too Western. So they blurred out his genes. This presenter, his name is Alan Titchmarsh. He says he's been given a bit of street cred by being censored by North Korea. Yeah, the regime considers genes a sign of Western imperialism. It banned them in the 1990s and then launched a harsh crackdown on capitalist fashion in 2022. I kind of remember when that happened. But that's just pretty funny. I mean, of all the things to censor, blue jeans would kind of be the last thing on my list. Okay, my final story. I'm excited about this. By the end of 2026, you'll be able to find Krispy Kreme donuts in all of the U.S. locations of McDonald's. This is great news. Not that I go to McDonald's all the time or anything, but when I do, man, I would love a Krispy Kreme donut too. That sounds delicious. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the show this week. If you missed any part, like I said, podcast the show. I appreciate everyone who downloads the podcast. You guys are the best, and everyone who listens on the radio is the best too. I hope you have an amazing weekend. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall, so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report,